You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
You're listening to the new home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN 100.3 New Orleans.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan.
800-998-1003 is the number to call in at ESPN Radio NOLA. Join the intern. It's do your homework. Did you tweet out that we want some game balls, hats on the back, and also who needs to have a seat with Coach? Not just Saints Jags, but Pell Spurs, LSU Florida, Tulane UConn as well. In case you missed it at the top of the hour, apparently Twitter Dave did. I'm not picking on you. I'm having fun with you. But yes, I opened up by, of course, talking about Tulane UConn winning 49-7. Brian, 5-1. That's not old news. Stop it.
Yeah, it's old news. It's finished. Move on to the next game.
Oh, poor
Who y'all playing next?
UConn. They may not win a game.
No, we won't.
I'm just saying.
They've got Loma Tubes.
I want Brian, your take on this. I love Justin McMillan's confidence on this. What do you have to say after the game?
Like I said, I'll say this every week. With a straight face, this is not the old Tulane. This isn't what people thought it was. We're not scheduled for anybody's homecomings. We're not that kind of team that just kind of gets blown over or pushed by. We're a team that needs to be recognized and respected. And that's our job as far as being on the field. That's what we're playing for, and that's what we want to do. This is serious. We're serious. You know what I'm saying? This team, we're a serious team. What we're doing this season started from the summer. We got a new weight room. You know, everybody's taking their part in making this football team better. Staff, coaches, players. We just got a new wave grill last year. I mean, the first day I got there is the first day I eaten there. So, going off what I heard about Tulane, you know, the past has been whatever, such and such. Well, I wasn't here in the past, and I'm here now, and the players are here now, and I'm ready to keep winning.
I love that, and I like what he's saying too. I wouldn't hear when you're same old Tulane. And look, all I know is this. There's two things to kind of keep in mind here, Brian. For starters, they're going into the game on Saturday, and on October 19th, they have a chance to become bowl eligible and win game number 6. Now, they haven't beaten Memphis in 20 years over there, and every team they're facing from here on out is either currently ranked or has been ranked already this season. Gives you an idea where the conference is. But still, I love hearing that from that locker room. It's just something that Green Wave fans have never normally heard.
Well, first of all, his attitude is reflecting his leadership qualities. I mean, I think it's kind of, you know, clear in that statement. Secondly, he's absolutely right. This isn't your daddy's Green Wave. Hell, this isn't your uncle's, your brother's. These guys really do believe everything he just said, as evidenced by the game they put up against Auburn. They gave Auburn one hell of a fight. And had they had the horses, because that's the one advantage Auburn had, they were just a deeper, you know, I guess more physically put together team. So Tulane couldn't withstand that because we're talking about
5 yards rushing in the first quarter, 20
Bingo.
In the first half.
Well, if you remember watching that game, Tulane did a lot of trick plays that didn't work their way, and there was one where there was a guy streaking down the sidelines, and it was a perfectly thrown ball, but he dropped it, and that was going to go in for a touchdown.
Exactly. So we're talking about, you know, these guys have the ability to stand toe-to-toe with an Auburn team. That, again, we're talking about SEC West. You know, these guys, you know, they're Tulane's best guy may be, what, 6'3", 6'4", 220. That may be Tulane's best guy. Mm-hmm. Auburn's worst guy is 6'3", 6'4", 220. So that's the difference in the game in that one. Everybody else, Tulane has absolutely showed you that they are the better team. Even the game against Houston, in which they kind of pulled it off late, they were the better team. Houston just was playing for a hell of a lot that game. So I think moving forward, Tulane is going to be the team that's going to be able to say, we're a little bit of the bullies in this game, and now you got to swing with us. I can't wait to see what happens next year, because if they can build on this momentum and bring in another guy like a Justin McMillan and kind of keep adding to the recruits that they brought in, this is going to be a team to be reckoned with moving forward.
Well, and also, if you looked at who voted in the AP top 25 polls, a lot of them towards the end near the top 25, like 20 to 25, had Tulane in the AP top 25 polls. So, I mean, if they could keep winning, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if you see them
26 and 27. Look, they win Saturday, they're in.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, there's no doubt they're ranked because Memphis was ranked, what, 21, 23 in either poll. They were ranked low 20s this past weekend before losing to Temple. And Temple's now ranked. So, look, it's going to take care of itself, as Gary Smith tweeted. You go out, you go win some of these games. UCF still on the schedule. SMU, Jordan, where's SMU right now? They're 19.
Yeah, SMU is
19 on both polls. Okay, so 19 in both polls. That's the final game of the year. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, take care of your business and do that. Regardless, that's what it looks like. Brian, when you go to LSU, when you look at this game on Saturday, I don't know. Is it the play that sort of, I wouldn't say defines, but kind of gives you an idea where they are this year? And I'm going to go with it there, you know, late in the game, real late in the game. And Kirk Herbstreit says, you know, this is a different LSU team. They're aggressive. They want to attack late in the game. Put the nail in the coffin. We saw it at Texas, Brian, and we saw it again Saturday night.
35-28, LSU with the lead and the football. Burrow, snap back. Stands in the pocket, releases, catches, grabbed by Chase at about the 30-yard line, far side, he's in for the score, touchdown, Tigers, 54-yard touchdown pass, and the Tigers make it 41-28.
Look, first off, I know you had that grin that I can almost picture when I just see that play, because that looked like a Saints play.
It was a Saints play, right? And that wasn't the first one they ran.
No, right? The onions, I love it. The aggressiveness to go do that because, my goodness, for years you've just seen it. You know, just run the ball, punt it, try to make a play late. No, they went out there and did it. Look, that was a game that was, it felt like a tennis match, Brian. You don't get that interception in the end zone by Stingley Jr.
Yes,
I mean,
that was a heck of a play.
Look, all of these different plays, right? And Trask couldn't believe it because they were moving the ball up and down. But that was classic. That was Mullen. Being Mullen, Dan Mullen has coached very well against LSU.
Extremely.
At LSU as well. But I think what's different this year, Brian, is we'll transition to the Saints here in a bit. You're seeing different DNA. You're seeing adjustments being made by LSU. You're seeing Coach O letting the offensive coaches coach. Right? Because that was kind of a problem in the past, right? Maybe he had an example. He's just go. Let them go do it and trust him. And I think, to me, you're seeing a Heisman candidate. I don't know why some people still don't have him up there thinking he can, which is kind of ridiculous to me. Two top, you know, 10 teams that he's had to make plays with this arm to get that win for LSU, and that's what I've seen in Joe Burrow.
The difference in the LSU Tigers, and I'm not sure if we've ever been able to say this, the offense is carrying the team. Like, it's always been LSU in the defense, that you just got a game manager at quarterback. As long as you don't lose me the game, you know, everything will be fine. We're going to ground and pound. We'll run the ball. We'll play conservative. You know, we'll make us play on special team or two, and we'll try to take this one out and we'll win this game. No, the LSU offense is winning them games because Florida moved the ball up and down on the LSU defense at will, and Florida's offensive line is horrible. Their quarterback is a young guy. They don't really have the weapons. Like, if you were saying this was Alabama, a little bit more understandable because two of the guys are veterans. This was a young Florida team that was able to do that to that LSU defense, and Joe Burrow didn't blink. That is impressive as it gets.
Look, I think one of the things that stands out, too, when you look at it, as Jordan, you pulled up the schedule here.
Rest our SEC opponents.
And here's the thing. Well, there's one, I think, that's in there that's split, huh? No? Okay. I think the thing that stands out to me is, look, Mississippi State, Brian, they're not having a very good season this year. I know it's Cowbell Central.
That's a W.
Whatever. Auburn doesn't have the offense. They just don't offense.
But tricky things happen when you play Auburn.
Alabama's an NFL game. I mean, that's how I look at it.
LSU will beat Alabama.
Okay.
1-2.
And then you have Ole Miss on the road, Arkansas, which lost to Kentucky, and who started a quarterback this week for the first time ever that's been a wide receiver and ran all over him. And then you're hosting A&M. If you come up short in Tuscaloosa, I still think they get a spot in the top four.
I don't know.
It depends how that game goes.
I would say this. LSU could lose that game to Bama by a blowout, or they could lose it 10-9. and it wouldn't mean a thing because it's not about LSU's ability to play Alabama tough. It's going to be about Clemson not losing a game. Notre Dame always getting the hype, you know, mm-hmm. that they shouldn't be guaranteed. Ohio State doesn't look like they'll lose a game unless, you know, they slip up here and there. So that's going to be the difference between LSU being able to get in and not get in. It's the idea that there's always going to be a team that the national media wants to hype up and put there, and they're going to talk their way into that game that they shouldn't be because they're going to say, well, LSU had their crack at Alabama. They didn't get it done.
And here's the thing. Oklahoma and Ohio State are the two teams you're talking about.
Correct.
Clemson as well. They're very weak.
Correct.
Oklahoma probably play their toughest game.
Oh, yeah, no question.
Texas.
Yeah.
Would you say that?
Yeah, no question.
And you can try to tell me that Ohio State, Michigan's going to be that.
No, that's Michigan's crap.
So who's Ohio? I mean, Penn State's currently ranked 7th.
And Penn State is overrated and overhyped.
But that's what I'm getting at. Like, so that will be their.
Exactly. There you go right there. So if LSU does not take care of Bama.
I think if they lose in a close game. Now, I'm going to say this. I think they got a shot. But here's the one thing. And I know everyone's up, you know, amped up for what we saw. Alabama's offense is 10 times better than Florida's.
Correct.
Period.
Correct.
Okay, this is not just me talking. 4 of their receivers.
NFL receivers.
First-round draft picks is what they're
receivers.
Saying.
Especially Judy.
4 first-round draft picks.
No question.
So, if the LSU D-line gets zero pressure on Tua, I know you got Stingley and I hear you, but it's going to be a shootout. Would be my guess. Because I do think LSU does have the offense to score in Alabama.
Correct.
Do think that. But I also think Alabama's offense is not going to be stopped. I would be completely shocked if this was a teens game. I think you could see a 30-30 something matchup, maybe even in the 40s.
But
I honestly
what?
Believe that.
That's the craziest part of what I'm about to say.
That LSU's never been able to do that.
That's why I actually favor LSU in this game. Because I think that the LSU defense can pull out a play or two here and there to kind of, you know, flip the field
and
get it back.
Yeah, exactly.
Correct.
Right. Yeah.
But I don't think Alabama is prepared for what LSU finally has, offense.
Well, there was one sack that Chase Owen had on Trask. And I mean, I described it in colorful language to my friends on text, which I cannot describe here.
Yeah.
But he jumped on him. It was the end of the game.
Yeah.
Jumped on him, wrote him down, smacked him into the ground. Yes, Burrow, too, is going to get that. If he can have his career game.
Yeah.
And affect Tua, they can win that game.
The last time.
Because he's physically superior to a lot of.
Everybody.
He has the opportunity and ability to affect the game.
The last time LSU's put up 20 or more points against Alabama was November 6, 2010 in Baton Rouge, and they won that game 24-20.
Mark it down right now. Mm-hmm. LSU will score more than 20.
I agree.
LSU is going to win this game in a shootout. I'm going to pick 41-37.
Score already.
Right now, 41-37, Tigers beat Bama, and Joe Burrow, because of that game, is now the Heisman winner.
Last time LSU has scored 41 points was 2007.
If that happens in that fourth quarter, say it's a game-winning drive.
Oh, man, that means it's solidified. You know, if he does that, he not only becomes a first-round pick, he's a top-10 pick.
See, I was going to ask you about this later on in the show. Because, and we'll talk, Teddy, we got to get a little deeper into Saints, and we will here at the bottom of the hour. But is Burrow going to be around to where the Saints could even do it?
No.
I'm having a hard time believing he's outside the 15.
The answer is no.
With the quarterback play I'm seeing right now in the NFL?
No. No way possible does Joe Burrow fall that far to where the Saints
Because of the tutelage he's getting right now from Brady, from the Saints, I think NFL teams are going, this guy's running an NFL offense right now.
And here's the problem. The Saints don't have the draft capital to go and get him even if they wanted him.
I know.
Yeah, they only have 5 picks in next year's draft. So when
trade
people
everything.
On that note, hour 2 is brought to you by 5-11 by Carl Malone. Thank you, Brian, for giving me a lot of hope. Purpose-built gear for life's most demanding moment. 6601 Veterans Boulevard. It's across from Lafayette Park. We were there on Friday. You got to go see it. And I mean this in a complimentary fashion. The North Face, right? We're familiar with that brand.
Yeah.
It's a local North Face. And when I say local, meaning like there's a store there. 5-11 by Carl Malone is a national brand. National chain, stores everywhere, but it's like that. where you have gear you can work out, you can hunt, you can fish. Tactical gear, though, which is a little different than the North Face. So if you're military and police, you got some stuff. Brian, I don't know if you heard on Friday. I thought I was looking at a lunchbox, and it happened to be a gear.
It was actually a gun holder.
Well, it was a box, a little canvas bag that you put in your guns and your clips and your magazines.
Yeah.
And,
You're in
not
kid
an
mode.
Apple in the sandwich.
No, you're in kid mode. Everything's a lunchbox to you.
They had a pouch for flashbang grenades. It literally says on the cardboard box, flashbang holder. So I'm just saying, that's the kind of store it is. Go check it out. It's right across from the entrance to Laughing Air Park. Shamit Dua. We'll talk a little quick pels and then Saints the rest of the hour. Having got to Brian's take on Teddy Bridgewater, Theodore Roosevelt. Let's see what you think on that when we come back. It's your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
It's the Ram Power Days event going on now at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, and Homa. Come and get a great deal on a Ram today. See all their new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right ones should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram truck or van at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Homa. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Ready, set, hunt! Home Attractor has your John Deere Gator UTV ready. With our Gear Up for Fall promotion, there's never been a better time to buy. Save $500 off of all full-size Gators and get 0% for 48 months. These units have the power to pull disc and haul enough feed to make your pickup truck blush. Hurry! Offer ends October 25th, 2019. Financing subject to credit approval. Down payment may be required. Some restrictions apply. See Home Attractor for details.
All right, it's time for some straight talk. You wouldn't pay $100 for seats to a baseball game when you can get the same seats for $50. So why pay more on your wireless when you can get the same 4G LTE networks for up to half the cost? For $45 a month, get our unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data from Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Are you ready to check out the latest innovations from 5.11 by Karl Malone? 5.11 is committed to making the best gear used by those who demand the most. A large selection of award-winning packs and bags and industry-leading pant designs. 5.11's got you covered. Try our best-in-class pants like Apex or Defender jeans. Or walk in a pair of our most comfortable boots that perform in the harshest environments. Build the ultimate bug-out bag with our tactical bags and accessories at 5.11 by Karl Malone. 6601 Veterans Boulevard. Always be ready. Napa
Know How. Rogers Parts, your local distributor of high-quality Napa Auto Parts, Marine, and Industrial Supplies, has what you need to keep your vehicle rolling safely down the road. Whether it's repair or maintenance, Napa has the parts to help you make your vacation destination. Getting ready for that big fishing trip, they have quality marine parts to help keep your boat going. So stop by one of Rogers Parts' 5 locations, Lockport, LaRose, Galliano, Morgan City, and Labadyville, and talk with one of their ASE parts specialists. Rogers Parts, they've got the Napa Know How.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Cattingill.
At Fear of the Browns, the way to follow Shamit Dua over on Twitter is the lead writer for At Bourbon Street Shots. You can do those as well. Gus Cattingill, Brian, and Jordan in here with you in the studio. Shamit, you know, it's crazy. I don't know why we're talking Pels, because after the Lakers' first preseason game in which they won, they tweeted, consider this a notice to the league. Why play the season? It's clearly theirs. Oh, yeah, AD has a thumb injury. But regardless, I guess since we have to play the season, we might as well talk about the Pels. Your thoughts on their 4-0 preseason thus far?
Man, I mean, if I'm being forced to talk about them, I might as well. The Pelicans, as you said, are undefeated, which means not very much in preseason. But I think what does mean a lot is the promising play of one young Zion Williamson. I think that's been the major headline with the Pelicans thus far. Despite their best efforts to kind of keep the limelight away from Zion Williamson, he has found a way to just simply dominate games the way he did at Duke. And he has been pretty much as advertised in terms of a highlight reel. So I think that's really exciting for Pelicans fans. And beyond that, the rest of the team is playing really well, too. Drew looks like he hasn't missed a beat. Their other rookie, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, has been tremendous as well. So all in all, it's been a pretty promising showing for the Pelicans this preseason.
Schmidt, I wanted to kind of ask you, since you brought up the rest of the Pelicans, in your opinion, who's been like, we talked about the Lakers to open up. So who's been one of the Laker guys that have come in and kind of really impressed you? Has it been Lonzo? Has it been Brandon Ingram? And Josh Hart is not kind of the forgotten guy because he hasn't really made the plays to back up. So who's the guy that's kind of impressed you from coming over from the Lakers?
You know, all those players have had their moments. I think what's important to remember with all three of them is they're all coming back from injury, and all of them had their seasons cut short with the Lakers. So this is the first time they've been playing basketball against other opponents in months. And so it takes some time to sort of come back from that, to establish your rhythm and find your spots within a new offense and a new team. And I think we've already seen the immediate results with Lonzo and Zion with the highlight reel lobs and dunks that they've been connecting on. So that's been definitely a huge improvement, as well as Lonzo pushing the pace the way Alvin Gentry likes it. I think Brandon Ingram has been relatively quiet in terms of his personality, but you know, you look at these games and in 15 or 17 minutes he's already put up like 18 points and you're like, how did this happen? Well, even if his shot hasn't been consistently falling, he's been getting to the free throw line and he's been converting at the free throw line, which has been kind of a weakness of his in the past, and he's shooting a really high percentage there. And so while, you know, I think the finishing and some of the touch stuff will come as he gets his rhythm back, as he gets his wind back, it's really nice to see that he's been getting to the free throw line. And you're right, Josh Hart has been kind of difficult to insert into the rotation with how heavy the Pelicans are with their guard. But when he has played, he's knocked down threes, he's played good defense, and all in all, probably given Alvin Gentry a really tough decision when it comes down to deciding who should get those minutes.
I tell you what, Schmidt, and also Brian, I love Josh's attitude, though, from the get-go. I know, Brian, you have loved his social media presence and really just embracing the city and the culture, from saying it's about beignets, calling themselves the Beignet Boys, then go to eat beignets. Did y'all happen to see the tweet from this weekend in which he says, some things never change, and it's him trying to give Zion a high five during the game on Friday, and Zion walks past him. I love it. He did it again because it's happened before with the Lakers. Remember LeBron, a couple of other teammates. But I love that's the kind of stuff that's just great, though, isn't it? Y'all saw that, huh?
Yeah, I mean, the personality on this team is off the charts. Like, each individual player just has so much to show. And Josh Hart has been chief among them since the day he was traded. So that's definitely been a pleasure to watch.
Schmidt, I want to kind of do a two-parter here, and the first part of this is going to be, how do you view the Pelicans defensively? Because I think we're so busy hyping how well they've been on offense that we haven't really talked about, have they been able to kind of find themselves and start to play on that string defensively? And the second part I want to ask about is more kind of a outside influence. How do you see the Pelicans culturally, as far as we kind of saw it take advantage with the Saints over the past couple of years, that they've kind of shifted to kind of being more of more New Orleans than even what they were, and now we kind of see the Pelicans following that blueprint. Do you think they'll be able to create the same buzz the Saints have and kind of grab the fans and kind of take them on the roller coaster ride with them?
So let me answer the defense question first, and then we'll talk about the culture. I think defensively there is a lot for this Pelicans team to work on. I think they have all the tools to be very talented on that end, and I think you're seeing in these preseason games that they'll have moments where they're just forcing turnovers with their athleticism or their length. And they're using that to really push the pace. But at the same time, they have a new defensive coach in Jeff Bezdelic. They're learning a completely new scheme. And a lot of these players are really young, so it definitely takes some time to learn all the nuances. I mean, if you look at Zion Williamson, I think he's improved if you look at game one of preseason to game four, but he still has a long way to go where he's living up to the defensive potential that he has. So I think the Pelicans are in a good spot defensively. I think they're going to be one of the better defensive teams later on the season. I definitely think it's going to take some time to adjust to all the nuances for them, especially just learning how to play with each other. I think it's a communication and chemistry thing. But there's never been more athleticism on this team. There's never been more length on this team. So that's definitely a huge plus. And to talk about the culture a little bit, I think it's absolutely amazing that the Pelicans are looking to double down and re-embrace New Orleans as a city. I think this won't bow down marketing campaign is definitely a hit. I think they're making all the right choices when it comes to embracing the city, whether it's individual players, whether it's the executives and David Griffin and Swin Cash talking about the city in glowing tones. I think it's super important to have a leadership group that is so outwardly positive about the city. And I think the rest, as far as it goes for the city to embrace the team, I think the city's already starting to do that just because of the talent that's on the team. But I think that's going to come with time as they start winning more games. I really do think winning cures all.
Speaking with Schmidt Dewar, you can follow him over on Twitter, at Fear the Brown, lead writer for Bourbon Street Shots. You know, halftime on Friday night, accessibility as well, Schmidt, I think is something that's really going to help embrace and kind of connect the team with the city. I love that David Griffin was out there at Trajan Langdon. It was a little Q&A session with Joel Myers. And I know with the mic, sometimes it's kind of hard to hear. But what did catch my ears, and I know, Jordan, you were sitting next to me. We both went, whoa, because it was a pretty pathetic performance on the first half in terms of defense. Shemin, I don't know if you caught it, but David Griffin said, yeah, you know, Armando's won't back down unless, I guess, in the first half because our guys didn't play a lick of defense or didn't want to defend anybody. I'm like, whoa. But I love that, right? I love the accessibility. Here's the guy that's running the organization talking about it. And more importantly, though, you know, this isn't mincing of the words. This is like, look, he's holding everyone accountable. He's doing the same thing you're doing. If you're sitting in those stands, believe me, there was a gentleman to my left yelling for Brandon Ingram to pass the ball. I mean, fans see what they're seeing. Fans want him to play defense. And here's the guy saying, hey, it'd be nice if we defended anybody. You know, I love that, man. So refreshing.
Oh, yeah, David Griffin is not afraid to tell you how it is. And I think it's true, especially when you look at the Pelicans defense. Both the games against the Chicago Bulls and the Utah Jazz, both teams shot an otherworldly percentage from three, and then part of that's just the Pelicans being slow on their rotations, and that's something that has to improve. But, you know, an example of David Griffin just not being afraid to tell you how it is, I'll tell you a personal example. Just last night, I was tweeting about Frank Jackson. I was saying, hey, what does Frank Jackson contribute beyond scoring? And David Griffin hops on Twitter, hops into my mentions, and lets me know very clearly Frank is an incredible teammate and an incredible on-ball defender, and shut me up very quickly. So I think telling people what they need to hear as opposed to what they want to hear has been Griffin's MO and how the organization operates. And it's honestly really refreshing to see and great to watch as an observer.
Shemit, I kind of posted this question to Andrew Lopez of ESPN.com when we had him on earlier, and I'm going to ask your opinion on it as well. Your opinion of the Pelicans as far as their first maybe 15 to 20 games versus maybe the last 15 to 20 games, how do you think the season should play out for them? Is it I understand a quick start is always great, but do you think it's a quick start, then you kind of struggle a little bit and try to pick it up towards the end of the season? Or do you think it's going to be not surprising to see them struggle up front, but as the season goes on, they'll build momentum, and that's what you kind of want to have going into the following season with the same group of guys?
Yeah, I definitely think it's going to be more of the latter. I think the Pelicans are slated to have the toughest schedule before All-Star break in the league. And so that combined with all these new pieces, all these young players, they're definitely going to have more of an up and down first portion of the season. At least that's what I anticipate them going through. And then I think as the schedule lightens up, they have the easiest schedule post All-Star break. So on the back half of that season, not only are the opponents going to be a little bit easier, they'll have had a few months to really get their chemistry down, really get their execution down, and I think you're going to see them win a good chunk of games in that back half and carry that momentum either into the postseason or into next season.
Schmidt, one thing I want to see, obviously, as we get closer to the regular season starts next week, it's just, I guess, how these minutes are going to go and everything. It's remarkable to me. I'm not trying to find controversy, but I want to see some Jackson Hayes. I just think that athleticism and allows it. We saw it on Friday, came in the second quarter, which I loved because he'd been coming in late in games, and athleticism alone got him 6 points, right? Right by the rim. He can put back some shots, things of that nature. I think, though, are we going to see him go to the G League so he can get minutes and play?
You know, I don't think they're going to send him to the G League just yet. I do think there's a lot of benefit from staying around the team and practicing with guys like Derek Favors and Jahlil Okafor and even Zion Williamson down low. learning the nuances of how the Pelicans want to run their system. I mean, Jackson Hayes is someone they view as a long-term piece and someone they want to develop into a bona fide starter in this league. I think we all see he has all the tools, and he's probably about 30 pounds away from like truly making a dominant impact. So I think the Pelicans want to keep him around the team, and honestly, the work they put in even just before the games is very intense. And I think he has a little bit more to gain from that environment and that exposure than to go down to the G League. But honestly, I guess I wouldn't be surprised if they send him down, but I don't think they will.
With so many variations of the way the Pelicans roster and lineup could look from night to night, do you think it's going to be Alvin kind of tinkering with that until he finds the right, I guess, maybe 8-9-man rotation? Or do you think he's just going to keep on, because of the depth of the team, just kind of keep throwing bodies out there and basically running teams out of the gym?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. We asked Alvin after one of the practices, where does he see the rotation being given all the players that he has? And he says it's really hard to play more than 9 players a given night, and sometimes 10. So I think he's going to want to keep it pretty tight around the 9 or 10 mark, but I don't think those 9 or 10 are going to be the same every single night. I think it's definitely going to be matchup dependent, whereas like I think you're going to have a lot of nights where Nicola Melli sees a lot of minutes at that backup 5. But then there's going to be other nights where, you know, perhaps Melli isn't the best candidate to bang with some of the bigger guys. And then you have Jahlil Okafor stepping in. Maybe Jackson Hayes is getting some of those minutes. Likewise, with all of the guards they have, it's definitely going to be matchup dependent. Maybe, you know, they insert JJ and perhaps JJ is getting torched. And they put in Frank Jackson, and Frank Jackson's doing great thing in front of his man. So I think it's going to be a lot of experimentation before they get it down. I don't think there's going to be, like, one definite rotation, like, man, these are the 9 guys that are going to play every single night. I think we know our first 6 pretty well, the starters plus JJ. I think that's a given. I think the other 3 to 4 are going to be variable given the matchup.
Schmidt Dua at Fear the Browns. The way to follow him over on Twitter, lead writer at Bourbon Street Shots. We'll have him on throughout the season here as well. I'm not used to this, Schmidt. You were just talking about options. You're talking about the ability to adapt to different styles of play. This is a new era in Pelicans basketball, my friend.
Man, it's definitely refreshing to see, and I think it's really cool to see that, hey, if someone goes down, you're not dead in the water. You have someone that's deserving of minutes ready to step up and take those minutes and contribute to the team. So it's definitely good injury insurance, because we know from the history of this team that's been a large problem, and hopefully it isn't this season. I mean, they've completely revamped the training facility. They've brought in Aaron Nelson and his tremendous staff from Phoenix, but it's really nice to have those options, as you said.
Hey, man, during home games, feel free, man. We'll be up there around Section 104, 6 to 6:30, doing Pelicans walkthrough. We got a spare headset if you want to sit on in, dude.
Absolutely. I'm going to swing on by.
Sounds good. See you for the home opener. Schmidt Dua at Fear the Browns, the way to follow on Twitter. Look, not just him. We talked to Jake Madison. We've talked to Andrew Lopez, a bunch of other people. I've covered the team for a long, long time. Will Guillory, of course, last week as well with us, Brian. The excitement level, the desire for people to give that. And what was interesting was what he said as we hit the break here. David Griffin answered or commented on something that he's doing. I like that. I have no problem with that. I welcome it. Tell me. You know more tonight. You're around the team. I think the more that the fan base and the more the city is, for lack of a better phrase, schooled on basketball and what makes a good player and such, because I can trust him, because he's going to tell me if they stink.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Or, you know, they need to play better. I mean, he flat out called the team out at halftime on Friday for not defending anybody, you know? So I love a guy like that. Can you imagine Mickey Loomis tweeting at you when you go on one of your little Twitter heads?
Well, Mickey doesn't have to, because the players do a great job.
That's right. That's right. Brian might be getting red in the locker room from certain plays.
Yeah,
sure.
You
ready to talk a little black and gold? Always. Let's go rapid fire, because there's a handful of topics that I want to get into, including Theodore Roosevelt, or as the mayor of Atlanta / Louisiana, as we know him, as the Bema on Twitter. Theodore Roosevelt was more like Popeye the Sailor. The balls were going over receivers' heads.
Man, that was a horrible play. I mean, Mike, but he not only had one guy. He had Austin Carr right behind Mike Thomas.
Was that Carr or Hill? I thought it was Hill. It was two Saints players right in there. The end zone.
I mean, just right
hit there. One of them. Sports Hangover continues next. Hour 2 is brought to you by 5-Eleven by Carl Malone. Go pay him a visit. 6601 Veterans Boulevard. Trust me, they got gear for everything. They got accessories, tactical bags, backpacks, boots, just a handful of things to go check out. So please go do so over there in Metairie. You're listening to the Homes of Pelican, home of Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
Hi, I'm Brittany LaBeouf, a certified athletic trainer for Terrebonne General Medical Center's Community Sports Institute. Did you know that we've given over 4,000 baseline concussion tests to student athletes in Terrebonne Parish at no charge? A baseline concussion test allows the athlete to get back to their sport in the safest manner possible. TGMC's certified athletic trainers supervise the return to play protocol at each high school once the physician releases the athlete back to activity. It's just another way that we're caring for our community. Terrebonne General's Community Sports Institute. Just look for the neon yellow. For more information, go to TGMC.com.
If you're a small business owner, there's no better place to find the impact hire to help your business than LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs takes the time to learn more about who you're looking for and then recommends qualified candidates from their community of engaged and career-minded people, candidates who you likely won't be able to reach anywhere else. The truth is, over 70% of the U.S. workforce is on LinkedIn, and posting your job on LinkedIn gives you the best chance of finding and starting a conversation with your next star recruit. It's no surprise a new hire is made every 8 seconds using LinkedIn. So build your winning team by posting a job on LinkedIn and visit linkedin.com/sports to get $50 off your first job post. That's linkedin.com/sports for $50 off your first job post. linkedin.com/sports. Terms and conditions apply.
A change in season means it's time to check your tires. And Goodyear Auto Service has just what you need to make this fall great. Think weekend getaways, scenic drives, and great deals. Like up to $225 in savings this month. That's $75 in instant savings when you purchase and install a set of four new Goodyear or Dunlop tires. Plus, up to $150 back on select tires by online or mail-in rebate when you use your Goodyear credit card. But hurry, this offer ends October 31st. Terms and conditions apply. Visit GoodyearAutoservice.com to learn more.
What's up, New Orleans? It's Matt Moscona inviting you to join me weekdays from 3 until 6 p.m. for After Further Review. I make you one promise. If you're talking about it, we're talking about it weekdays on After Further Review. Saints, Tigers, Pelicans, we got it all covered weekdays from 3 until 6 p.m. So tune us in and tell a friend. It's After Further Review, weekday afternoons from 3 until 6 on 100.3 ESPN New Orleans.
Some kids never smile. They're embarrassed by their crooked teeth. They want braces like the other kids, but their families can't afford them. Some may even try to straighten their teeth themselves. That can make everything worse. Luckily, there's Donated Orthodontic Services, a program from the American Association of Orthodontists. It helps provide orthodontic treatment to kids and teens whose families can't afford it. For kids who apply, are approved, and are matched with a volunteer orthodontist, it can be life-changing. Their treatment is in the hands of an expert, a licensed local orthodontic specialist who improves their smiles by correctly aligning teeth and jaws. Some kids think they'll never smile again, but Donated Orthodontic Services may help them smile with confidence. To link to the application and eligibility requirements, visit aaoinfo.org.
You're listening to the new home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN 100.3 New Orleans.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
The man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Phone lines open the rest of the way, 800-998-1003. Gus Kattengill with you, Jordan the intern, and Brian. The enemy joining us here in studio today.
Two different things, though. I mean, obviously, he just had the swollen ankle coming into the game, but he was ready to go, and then, you know, he tweaked his knee. I don't think it changed what we were doing. I think we're going to look at the tape tomorrow and be frustrated at times in that first half relative to certain looks we have. It wasn't anything difficult. We really didn't get a lot of pressure. So we'll make the corrections and improve in that area.
Hour two brought to you by 511 by Carl Malone. Brian, let's do a handful of topics here. 800-998-1003. Chime in, fill in, or feel free to jump into the conversation while we have some of these topics to talk about the 13-6 win. That's Coach Payton talk about Alvin Kamara. Got injured in the game. He was on the injury report. Did something to his ankle on Thursday. Didn't practice Friday. On Friday's report, you saw you didn't have a running back there. Latavius Murray missed as well. He had a tremendous game yesterday. Was it 79 all-purpose yards, 44 on the ground, and 35 in the air?
A touchdown taken back from him as well.
Yes, that should have been a touchdown there as well. Coach Payton had this to say on his play last night.
He ran with confidence. You know, I know he had a night without sleep. You know, having a baby, I think Thursday night, he and his wife, congratulations to them. So, you know, Friday we were without two running backs at practice. But, you know, he played hard. He made some really big plays for us. And then the one play came back a little bit because of a holding, which, you know, I disagree with. But it is what it is.
That holding call on Michael Thomas, and Sean Payton was not happy about that. It was nice to see Murray, though, right? He kind of looked like he got going.
Yeah, no question, man. I think the only thing that's stopping Latavius Murray is Sean Payton. Like, that's the only person that's stopping him because he's not getting the opportunities. And I get it to a certain extent. You have Alvin Kamara. He's, you know, one of the best running backs in the league. You want to feature him and get him the ball. But when you've got a guy that's 6'3", 220, an absolute, you know, a bruiser who can also catch the ball out of the backfield, you use him, especially against a team like Jacksonville, who's trying to out-bully you and out-physical you. Use the physical advantage that you have at running back, especially with the hobble Kamara, which I don't think it's going to be – I'm not going to say much ado about nothing, but I think Kamara will have a similar role against Chicago that he did this week against Jacksonville.
Again, yeah, he didn't finish the game, and you saw him come out. So I'll start with this, right, my hot take. Is it a concern for you going into the rest of the season, or at least right now?
No, because I think what's going to happen, he's going to be limited versus Chicago. He's probably going to be more limited versus Arizona. And then there's the bye week.
And then,
so I think he'll be fine.
You got to get him healthy again.
Correct.
Though. The offense is completely different with that. Let's back up a little bit and kind of let's start over with Teddy Bridgewater. In the game, you take a look at it, Brian. The stats read 24-36, 240 a TD, no interceptions, sacked three times, though, this time. And I guess overall my take and sense is it looked like Teddy from Seattle, Dallas, sort of, I'm not going to make the mistakes. I see the defense playing well. The ball sails every now and then. And look, it's something we talked about that I saw the observation in training camp. He tends to throw a high ball sometimes. And it was one to Ted Ginn that could have been a first down. Yeah. And there was a play to Michael Thomas where they faked the slant. That's always a touchdown. Jacksonville bid on it. Would have been a pick. And he was wide open. And whether it was Hill or Carr, it was somebody else in there in the end zone. But those are plays that you're winning. But you have to score touchdowns, man.
It's frustrating to watch Teddy play ball because you have Teddy who, you know, as we talked about during the break, his ceiling was Tampa. You know, we know he's capable of playing like that and, you know, lightning in a bottle and playing like that. The problem is that it is catching lightning in a bottle. And most of the time, you're going to get the Seattle Teddy. You're going to get the Dallas Teddy. You're going to get the Teddy that was against Jacksonville. Every now and again, he's going to spark. He's going to have a big game. He's going to make you chant Teddy. And for the most part, he's going to be the guy, what you saw yesterday. He's going to be a guy that's visually frustrating, who's going to not pull the trigger and take the chances that he sees there. He's going to overthrow balls. And, you know, he's going to be the guy that he doesn't want to be responsible for losing the game. So he overthinks when he's, instead of going through his progressions and trusting his abilities, he's going to basically just take the game away from you by taking a sack when he shouldn't. Or worse, you know, and that's, you know, holding the ball when there's a touchdown to be made. So now you got to punt the ball instead of, you know, getting a first down.
The frustrating element was in that second quarter we took back-to-back sacks.
Oh my gosh.
In which, again, this offense is predicated and built
on rhythm, timing.
Not only that, right, and that's the thing. There was really not much flow and rhythm yesterday. The other thing, too, and I go back to when we had Robert Meacham on the show last year a ton. In that with Drew Brees, you run your route, and whether it's to you or not, you have to run it because that's what he learned because you don't know if it's going to go.
Correct.
Drew's built now. Again, I understand what I'm doing. I'm comparing an individual that's played in this offense since 2006.
Mm-hmm.
It's 2019. I get that. But the way the offense is built is snap, intended target there, not there, not there. Next target. They're not there. Next target. It's built to have multiple options.
Yes.
And it's built to where those receivers have been schooled to be ready for the football that's coming your way at any minute. And that's, I guess, my biggest, I wouldn't say knock or criticism. It's the thing that I want to see more consistency from, because we did see it a little bit in Tampa, Brian, where it wasn't there, he'd go to the check, or if he's not there, you saw the head at least move. I'm not saying he's not going through the progressions. I can't look in the helmet. Maybe his eyes are going. But normally, a head will bobble left or right when you're looking. There wasn't much bobbling of the head yesterday. You know, and I just, that's the frustrating element of it, is that because we understand not knowing the offense nearly as much, we may not see the audibles that Drew could do. I mean, Drew walks up to the line of scrimmage, he sees a defense, any defense, he knows the entire playbook. He can call a play. So I'm not trying to compare that, but that's the things that's frustrating. They're moving the football, Brian. This isn't a situation where they can't move the football. They're just not getting it done in the red zone. And look, I'm not complaining they're undefeated without Drew Brees, but I text you yesterday in the second quarter, when's Drew healthy again?
Exactly.
Because it, with the way the defense is playing right now, that offense gets rolling when Drew gets in. I don't know who's beating the Saints.
That's exactly what I texted you yesterday. I told you.
Because Jacksonville had no business being in that game.
No.
They're one missed tackle away from either tying or going ahead. That was what I'm trying to get at yesterday.
No question.
The Saints are a much better football team than Jacksonville.
They're a much better team than what they showed yesterday. And I don't care about the apology that Teddy, you know, told Dennis Allen or what. No, play better. Don't give me an apology. Play better. Because this team, as presently constructed, is a Super Bowl winning team. Not a Super Bowl contending, a Super Bowl winning team. Because what I've seen around the league, offensively, defensively, special team, there is not a team that is more talented than the New Orleans Saints. And especially when you think about the schedule that they've played, Houston, playoff team.
They beat Kansas City yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. You were talking about Seattle. They're leading the division right now.
Well, the 49ers are.
Correct, I'm sorry. But they're one of the contending teams in the division right now. 49ers, I was going to say, have a cupcake schedule, which is why they're 5-0 right now. So, I mean, I think you look at the Dallas Cowboys. At one point, we thought they were legit, and now we kind of see they've taken a step back, but they were a playoff team. So all of these, you know, all of these teams are very capable of being winning teams, and the Saints are not only, you know, winning these games, but they're winning without Brees right now. So you have an opportunity to take advantage, especially with Atlanta falling by the wayside, especially with Tampa being the team that they are. And the only team on your heels right now is Carolina, who's playing without their starting quarterback. You have an opportunity with the rest of the NFC looking the way that they are to basically separate yourself. And the only thing holding you back is that your quarterback is inconsistent, to be expected at some point.
Right.
But you still have to go out there and play better, because we all thought that all we have to do is have a quarterback that doesn't trip coming from under center.
Yeah.
And it's win.
And you can, and you are. As we go to break, look, again, I'm not complaining, but I guess the best way to look at it is this. You miss a play, you miss a tackle, Minshew gets lucky with a bomb. They're leading that game. It was 6-6.
Yeah.
It was 6-3, and then they tied at 6-6 when you missed a touchdown opportunity. That's all I'm saying. I'm not talking about this week. Okay? A game like yesterday, this upcoming weekend against the vaunted Bears defense, you got out of there with the win. I'm not saying that. That's a team yesterday, though. Drew Brees plays. Brian, am I off base here? It's 34-6.
It's 40.
It's 34-6. At least 34-6.
I kind of thought it would be that way anyway. I thought the Saints would smoke the Jaguars, especially because I thought
and
you had the advantage.
That's what I mean by that. I'm not, again, complaining. I'm just saying that's a game that's not even close.
If Brees is in that game, it looks like Cincinnati last year. The Saints, I mean, we're talking about 50 plus 100%.
Points. 100%. That game is out of reach by halftime. 5-11 by Karl Malone. They're sponsors of Hour 2 of the Sports Hangover. We come back, we'll talk about some of the other players that have been making plays. I'm not on the defensive side, Brian. Is his name now Marshawn Picklemore?
If he keeps playing like this, he can call himself whatever the hell he wants.
Sports Hangover comes back on ESPN New Orleans.
Join a winning team with Polar Auto Air in Houma. They service all types of motorhomes, fifth wheel bumper pulls,
campers, refrigerators, AC units, leveling systems, and accepts most extended warranties and some factory warranties. A Dometic and Norcode Service Center. They do AC work on automobiles and specialize in the repair and service for over 30 years. An RIVA certified technician on RVs. Polar Auto Air, 119 North Hollywood Road in Houma. Call 985-876-1934.
Every favorite has been reborn. The Caddyshack Bar and Grill is now Vinny's Caddyshack. Come check out the newly renovated bar, revamped liquor selection, and be sure to grab one of our specialty cocktails. If you are looking for a great lunch or want to unwind after a long day at the office, then look no further than Vinny's. Join us for the best happy hour in town. And we're open until 5 a.m. every night. Come see the all-new Vinny's at 3217 Ridgelake Drive in Metairie.
Hello, everybody. You're looking live at Fansville, a college football utopia.
Fansville.
Where the rivers flow with ice-cold Dr. Pepper.
Delicious.
Where every day is Saturday and everyone's a fan, even babies.
Fan babies.
And the seasons never change because the only season is college football season. Get a taste of Fansville this fall during a college football game near you. Dr. Pepper, the official drink of Fansville. Grab some today.
Is pain putting a strain on your quality of life? Don't suffer in silence. Get relief at the Pain Center of Thibodaux Regional. Dr. Luis Hernandez and Dr. Keith Duplantis can provide solutions to neck, knee, and back pain, as well as pain associated with injury, arthritis, nerve damage, and migraines. Get help for your pain at the Pain Center of Thibodaux Regional. Call today, 985-493-4080, or go to Thibodaux.com.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Again, this isn't Teddy bashing, but let me do this. I'm just going to have a little fun. What if Joe Burrow could quarterback your New Orleans Saints? Well, for that to happen, Brian, you're going to have to move up. I think he's continuing to move up. More importantly, it's not even whether or not he gets high. It's do the teams that are at position at the draft where they are need a quarterback? There is some very poor quarterbacking right now in the NFL, which is why I think Burrow is going to be selected a lot higher than your 20s or as you would hope if you're a Saints fan, 31, 32, right? Mm-hmm. So, because that's the two Super Bowl teams they picked the last two. Right now, if the season ended, I know it's way early. I get it. If the season ended today, your draft order is as follows. Brian, I'm going to name the team. You say yes or no if they need a quarterback. The Bengals.
Yes.
Now, Justin Herbert seems to be the guy from Oregon that everybody says is the top pick, or Tua.
Blah, blah, blah. Okay. I'm taking Tua.
Dolphins number two.
Definitely need a quarterback. Okay.
Well, Herbert and Tua is going to go one or two.
Correct.
Okay. The Washington Redskins number three.
No, they just took Haskins, and I think now once they find their new coach, they'll be fine with Haskins okay. moving forward.
Uh-oh. Your Atlanta Falcons right now are number four.
No, because I still think, especially with the way Matt Ryan played this day, I still think they can justify keeping
yesterday.
Matt Ryan.
Okay, so they need line help.
Correct.
All right. At number five, the Jets.
No, they have Sam Darnold, who beat the Dallas Cowboys yesterday.
At number six, Jacksonville.
Definitely. Well, but I can't say definitely. I think they did pay Nick Foles, but I still think they go second round at quarterback. I don't think they go first round.
Joey, your Cleveland Browns right now pick seven.
Baker is up and down. Seven of his interceptions.
A new coach. I think they have a terrible head coach.
Seven of his interceptions have been tipped the ball, so no, I think Baker's fine.
Pick eight, Miami.
Miami definitely needs a quarterback, but they took two earlier, so no.
Okay. Pick nine right now. Again, if the season ended, I know it's way early. I'm just help me out here. Just play. Number nine is the Giants. They got
Daniel Jones.
No, it's the legend of Daniel Jones.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Yeah. I didn't know I had to say it in the British accent.
Here we go. Ready? Number 10, the Chargers.
Definitely the quarterback. Phillip Rivers looks old. He is old. And I just think the Chargers are who they are. They're going to be injured. They're going to be old. They're going to always spark
New stadium
or fall.
Going in there with the Rams.
Yeah, okay. They need a spark.
At 11, the Titans. They just benched Mariota yesterday.
They need a quarter. They need two quarterbacks.
The 12th pick right now would be the Broncos.
The Broncos need a quarterback.
They need a quarterback. At 13, oh my goodness, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
They need a quarterback.
Isn't it funny, just a couple weeks ago, Jameis came in, highest scoring offense against the Saints, and since then, what did he have, six turnovers yesterday?
Yeah, it was seven.
Oh, my
seven
turnovers. Gosh, it was terrible.
That was awful.
Number 14, it's the Cards. They got Kyler Murray.
Yeah, they're set.
15's the Cowboys.
No, they're going to pay Dak $30 million to be upset that they did.
Rams, Colts, Raiders. So my point is.
Raiders may need a quarterback depending on what happens.
Yeah, but that's 15. I don't think he lasts to that. We just went through four teams that absolutely need one.
Correct.
So you're looking at 10. You got to get to number 10. You remember the last time the Saints would have taken a quarterback at 10, huh?
Yeah, that was supposed to be Patrick Mahomes if they were going to take him.
So, again, I'm just going by what if the season ends today, and again, all of this is going to change the next couple of weeks. But I think you probably need to get to 10 if you want.
And in order for you to get to 10, I believe...
But you're throwing some first-round picks.
You're going to have to. And I don't see the Saints being able... Let's say they fall 32, which is what we're all hoping that they are. You're not going to be able to get that high in a draft without giving up a lot. The Saints have five picks in this year's draft. You're going to have to give up picks for next year. And by the way, Andres Pete, free agent, you're going to need to do that. Teron Armstead, as great as he is, never stays healthy, so you need a backup left tackle. And then there are all kind of different positions you have to solidify, including linebacker.
Hour 2 has been brought to you by 5-Eleven by Carl Malone. Go pay him a visit, 6601 Veterans Boulevard. Hour 3 next on ESPN New Orleans.